morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, January 12th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Wyoming lawmakers wrapped up 3 weeks of hearings on the upcoming state budget on Friday. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports Day 15 focused on religion and politics and public funding of private industry.
Faith leaders for Episcopal, Catholic, and Methodist churches across the state cautioned lawmakers about churches taking more of a lead on mental health services. In November, WPR profiled Chief Appropriator Representative John Baer of Gillette on how he considers religion and politics. Baer referenced the story in his response to one faith leader, saying electeds don't, quote, legislate on theory or ideals, we legislate in the real world. He also said he never advocated that churches take over aspects of government just for them to take a lead on it. Lawmakers also heard public comment defending the importance of the state's Economic Development Agency, the Business Council. On the other end of the spectrum, people asked for the council and the Department of Environmental Quality to be defunded. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
The Sublette County man accused of torturing a wolf by bringing it into a bar muzzled after injuring it with a snowmobile is asking for the court to dismiss his case. The Pinedale Roundup reports that Cody Roberts filed the request late last month. His attorney argues that the charge of felony animal cruelty doesn't apply because there's an exemption for predators like wolves. Sublette County's attorney disagreed in a court filing, saying that legal interpretation is, quote, absurd, and that it could lead to similar treatment of not only predators, but also pests and wildlife like elk and moose. A hearing on the motion to dismiss is set for January 28th. If the judge does not dismiss, the case will go before a jury on March 9th. A Jackson attorney is suing the Community Housing Trust and the Bridger-Teton National Forest supervisor to stop a workforce housing project on public land. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Dante Filpula-Ankne reports.
Attorney Michael J. Clement owns a home on the same street the development is planned for. He argues the project isn't allowed in the scope of a special use permit, and the modular housing would harm him and his neighbors. He believes in the need for Forest Service housing.
But I do not believe that this is the way to do it.
Housing Trust Executive Director Ann Cresswell told county commissioners at a meeting that she and Forest Supervisor Chad Hudson are confident in their legal standing.
This was something that the supervisor expected from day one, and he has been incredibly diligent about dotting every single solitary I and crossing every T in anticipation that a lawsuit would be filed.
She hopes the suit will be thrown out and won't delay construction expected to start this spring. For KHOL News, I'm Dante Filpula-Ankne.
The price of a gallon of gasoline varies widely across our region. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports on why some drivers are paying more.
The average gallon of gas nationally costs $2.81, according to the Gas Buddy price tracking app. And there's a stark divide in what drivers in Mountain West states pay. Most drivers in Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico pay close to the average or below, but many drivers in Nevada and Arizona pay much more. Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says refineries in California are a main supplier of gas for the Southwest, but closing amid strict regulations.
With 20% of the gasoline production now offline because of these shutdowns, every day as a result of these refinery shutdowns, prices will generally be slightly higher than they would otherwise be.
The governors of Arizona and Nevada in 2024 sent a bipartisan letter urging California lawmakers to reconsider regulations that could lower supplies and drive up prices. Other states in our region rely on different sources, including Canadian pipelines, which lower costs for drivers. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
Winter grooming in Grand Teton National Park began late last week. It's the 13th year that cross-country skiers, snowshoers, and hikers have access to 14 miles of groomed trails within the park. The groomed stretch starts at Taggart Lake Trailhead and takes recreationists to Signal Mountain Lodge. The The Grand Teton Park Foundation sponsors winter grooming. It advises parking at the Northern Signal Mountain Lodge lot to avoid over congestion. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on January 13, 1874, Laramie City was officially incorporated. It's unclear when City was dropped from the name. On January 14, 1921, the Powell Tribune received its first wireless news dispatches. On January 14, 1958, accused wrestler Bob Alcorn escaped a Thermopolis jail using hacksaw blades coated with soap provided by Eva Brown. Alcorn had previously escaped the Teton County Jail 3 years earlier. On January 14, 1981, Peggy Simpson Curry was named Wyoming's first poet laureate by Governor Ed Hirschler. On January 16, 1919, the Wyoming legislature passed Prohibition, or the Dry Amendment, a year before the country did. And according to the Gillette News Record, a couple routine arrests on January 14, 1976 got exciting. A police detective was bitten on the arm while arresting someone for shoplifting. The man bit hard enough that he broke skin through the detective's heavy leather jacket. The second man who was arrested had run through a glass door while trying to escape. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is the largest dinosaur fossil ever found in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, what facility is on top of Jelm Mountain? That's the Wyoming Infrared Observatory. It's owned and operated by the University of Wyoming, and research began there in 1977. It's about 25 miles southwest of Laramie, and on a clear day you can see sunlight reflecting off of the observatory from town and along US 287 and I-80. Congratulations to Arthur Walsh, who was the first person to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day, and join me again tomorrow.